Caduceus Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is Basic Principles of Disease and Healing, Part 4. And before we begin, I want to give some credit to Alice Bailey, the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. And she wrote 24 volumes of literature, and the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought. The art of the healer is concerned with the lifting of the downward-focused eyes unto the soul, the true healer within the form. What is meant by the downward-focused eyes? Could you explain that?
Yes, to me that's the reference to the soul, which is the inner consciousness, the true being. But the personality, the form nature, the body, the emotions, the mind, all of the basic attributes of what we think is really our true self is in fact material or substantial. So the downward focused eyes of the soul are the gaze of the soul to the earthly manifested person who is dwelling within the body. And healing comes when the energies of the soul are brought into play. The soul is consciousness, it is pure energy, and we know that real healing involves the redirection of energy in a way that is a more fluid, healthy, free distribution. The basic law of healing is that all disease is the result of inhibited soul life, which implies blockages, a damming up of energy. So the healing comes as the soul's energies are permitted free play through the mind, the emotions, and the physical body. I think that's what that opening thought means to me. I don't know if you have other ideas.
Well, it's also a lifting of the eyes, you could say, of the personality life, the focus of his or her personality, lifting to the soul, lifting upward to the soul, lifting an expectation of more expressing of that soul energy.
And not just thinking of oneself as purely a physical body that is currently sick.
Right. We have a self, and then there's a higher self. And if our focus is always on the little self, the lower self, the selfish self, then that's the downward focus.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, the object and perhaps the task of the soul on its own plane, the higher self, is to lift that focus and direct it upward.
And it is a challenge when you're not feeling well to remember that you're much more than your body. The body, when it's ailing, is just all engrossing. And yet there is this inner being that is not sick at all, that is well.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing about it. This soul is not, the soul within is not touched by this disease at all. It is a perfect, healthy being.
Mm-hmm.
But it is saddled with this imperfect body that's kind of riddled with all kinds of problems. And it's not a funny thing, but it's a very incapacity. It's handicapped through many, many lifetimes to work with this body that is incapable of expressing the divine nature of the soul.
As I've mentioned in earlier parts of this discussion of disease and healing, all of our ideas are derived from the book by Alice Bailey titled Esoteric Healing. And she gives in that book three basic principles of healing that I think expand upon the point that Dale and I are trying to make. She says that healing is based on, first of all, the fact that there is, in reality, no separation. We are, each of us, part of the planetary etheric body itself, the etheric body being the energy body. We are part of a whole, each one of us. We are not separate little automatons or islands living our lives entirely independent of each other or independent of the planetary life. We're a fragment or an atom within a much greater life. We're part of an unbroken wholeness, in fact. And the bodies of both the healer and the patient have to be recognized as intrinsic parts of that whole for healing to take place. The second basic principle of healing that she mentions is that there is an unbreakable but often unrealized relationship between a true spiritual healer's etheric body, their energy body, and that of the patient, which can be used to bring about a circulation of energies that will promote healing. And thirdly, she says that channels of relationship can be conductors of many different types of energy transmitted by the healer to the patient. And this is why people who set up shop, so to speak, and call themselves healers have to be very well trained. One of the points that I like that she makes in her book is that people who call themselves spiritual healers but haven't done the necessary training, which takes years and years, are really playing with energies that they don't fully understand. And she gives a lot of credit to the physicians, the surgeons, the trained medical people, because even if they don't recognize something as non-quantifiable as the soul, they at least are trained scientists and understand the laws of the physical realm, which have to be understood to try to bring about healing.
Absolutely, and this doesn't mean that the spiritual or the esoteric healing is going to replace those kind of doctors. It won't, because the healer in the future will be trained, as you say, in the regular physical healing methods, having the medical aspects of the problem, and just as the doctors do today, but with the advantage of also understanding that this disease does have a more spiritual, esoteric cause to it. And if you can work at that angle of the cause on the spiritual level, then you can attack this disease more easily.
And that's not as far in the future, that kind of healer, as one might think. There's a very highly respected cardiologist and surgeon, Dr. Mehmet Oz, who works at Columbia Presbyterian Hospital here in New York, who has been experimenting for some years on his cardiac patients with therapeutic touch and has been tracking very interesting results. And there's a very well-known nurse, maybe a nurse practitioner. She's a nurse teacher, Doris Krieger, who has also spent years developing an understanding of therapeutic touch. So we can see small beginnings in the trained medical personnel of an idea that energy is a counterpart behind the outer symptoms.
Yes, and when they begin to add the factor of the soul into this whole healing process, then they will have the complete person, the healer will begin to link his soul and his heart and his brain and his hands together, will be able to distribute this very vital healing force upon the patient in a much more effective way.
So the two go together, the understanding of the scientific and medical basis of disease and health, and the more esoteric or spiritual understanding of energy that promotes healing. Alice Bailey makes an interesting comment in esoteric healing. She says that the typical spiritual healer today is engrossed by that which is not the body. In other words, their attention tends to be focused entirely on the inner spiritual person or soul, and that causes them to be less useful to a sick person than a practical physician who is at least dealing with the substance of the condition. You have to have both the spiritual and the physical knowledge to bring about healing.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and our topic for today, Basic Principles of Disease and Healing, Part 4, which we'll return to momentarily, but perhaps you'd like to examine and explore this topic further. Alice Bailey did write a book. The title of it is Esoteric Healing. That's Esoteric Healing by Alice Bailey, and it's available from the Lucis Publishing Company for $22. Shipping is free, provided you mention that you heard about it on Inner Sight. So to order by mail, you can send a check or money order for $22. Send it to Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 1005. And once again, that's a check or money order for $22 to Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 1005. Or you can order online from our website at www.lucistrust.org, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, lucistrust.org, www.lucistrust.org. And we also welcome your donations. You've helped to keep us on the air, and we really appreciate those donations. We value your support, and we certainly do need your help. So if you'd like to donate to Lucis Trust, send your donation to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. If you'd like a general package of information about Lucis Trust, finding out who we are, I guess the most typical question is this a religion? No, Lucis Trust is not a religion. I guess the best way to describe it is it's a spiritual philosophy organization. And if you'd like to have that general package of information, which, of course, is sent out to you free of charge, give us a call at our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866 New York Lucis, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S. I found that interesting, the thought that we quoted from Alice Bailey, what is meant by the downward focused eyes. And I think you've done a good job about explaining that. Do we have any more that we can say about that?
Well, we've been talking about some basic principles of spiritual healing. One of the things that's a very important point that we haven't brought up is the fact that not every person, not every ill person, is identical to everyone else in consciousness. We are all at different rungs on the ladder of evolution. And one of the major things that this true spiritual healer has to be able to diagnose is the person's standing in terms of their spiritual development in order to be able to work out a course of healing. And that has to be identified by looking at their tendencies, their group relationships, their environment. It's a very subjective judgment, but it's one that's crucial to being a healer. And that would help them to determine whether the person would respond to traditional medicine or perhaps to homeopathy or to some of the more experimental treatments. Also, whether one should use radiation or magnetization on the person. And those are two terms that will need some explanation. There are two types of spiritual healing, according to Alice Bailey. One is magnetic. in which the healer attracts the type of energy that will counteract the disease. He attracts that energy to himself or herself and absorbs that energy and then draws it away from the patient. The disease is drawn away from the patient. In this type of magnetic healing, the healer has to take great care to protect himself as well as to replenish the patient's energy when the diseased energy is withdrawn from the person. The other type of spiritual healing is radiatory. And in this method, which works with the more advanced, consciously advanced people, the healer gathers the healing power to himself and radiates it to the patient in a stream of energy that is directed to the center nearest the diseased area. And we've talked about the fact that every human being has seven centers along the spinal column from the base of the spine up to the head. And the area in the body that is ill corresponds most likely to one of those centers, which the healer has to discern. And then the energy is radiated toward that energy center within the area of the illness. This poses no danger to the healer. But the problem here is that the person trying to heal the patient has to be careful not to use too much will, or he could harm the patient. It's much more important, she says, Alice Bailey, to work with love. Love is the healing agent far more than the dynamic will. No matter how much you want that person to become healthy, love is more important than will in bringing about that condition of healing.
And of course, love is the basic energy of the soul, and the soul is the great healer, and those that are adept at these esoteric methods of healing will try to work with the soul of the patient and to bring that force and that energy to the healing process.
I wonder if the best physicians don't consciously or unconsciously work with love far more than they might realize. Here we're not talking about the kind of love that expresses itself as warm and fuzzy, sweet compassion. It's not that kind of love. It's the love that identifies with the suffering of a fellow human being and that sees the oneness that exists between all of us. I think the best healers, physicians, nurses, do transmit that kind of loving presence that evokes the power of the soul within the sick individual. Because ultimately, don't you think it's the soul within that brings about healing? The healer can create conditions temporarily that might bring about an improvement in the condition, but a real lasting healing comes about from the soul within, don't you think?
Yes, and they do that today. They don't maybe call it that, but they allow the body to do its own healing. Mm-hmm. The body has its own ability to heal itself if it's given the right opportunity and the right circumstances to do that. And
that's why rest is so important.
Yes, I was just reading the other day that article about rest, and one of the advantages of rest is you allow the body to do its own healing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you give it time, it may take longer to heal that way, but the healing will be more complete in that process.
I have a friend who's a chiropractor, and years ago he said to me, we have within us a potential to bring about our own healing if we just let it work. That was such a startling idea to me, that we have within us the impulse to become well until it's our time to pass from this mortal coil. We do eventually succumb to a failure of the body, but for many, many years, we could say, of life on Earth, we have a basic impulse to health if we would allow it to work in our lives. And rest is one component. The overcoming of friction is another. We talked about friction in earlier programs, that the impulse or the energy or the vision of the soul sets up a friction with its instrument, the personality or form, because of the failure of that outer form to be a perfect expression of the soul's vision. This creates a friction. The more we can attune ourselves to our soul's vision for this particular life, the more we promote healing.
And there's another aspect of this recognition that on the part of the healer, and that has to do with particularly somebody who's in a very chronic state and maybe in a very final state, and the healer has to recognize this, that maybe healing isn't what is called for at this particular stage if someone is in the final stage of making that transition. Then trying to heal this person would only prolong that inevitable exit that the soul is preparing this person for. And I think that's important, that the healer recognizes that, and if there's nothing more to be done, then try to, you know, admit that. And
don't you think that lies behind the hospice movement?
Absolutely, yeah. And many, I think, more and more doctors are perhaps recognizing this, and they're not fighting this disease to try to hang on for everything that they can do. And the best course of action is to let that person make a quiet transition.
Yes, the writings of Alice Bailey make it very clear that at some stage the soul has to withdraw from the physical body in order to be freed to pursue its evolution. The physical body at some point becomes a limitation and a constriction to the soul. It serves the soul's purposes well for many, many years, hopefully, but there comes a point when the soul needs release. And the wisest healer would know when that point in the incarnation has been reached and help the soul to achieve its release. I think this is something that the hospice movement understands and works with. They treat death as normal, and they prepare the person to release the soul and to die a peaceful and easy death. This is as much a part of healing as the overcoming of disease is.
And it goes back to that opening thought of the downward focused eyes. If the the healer is able to lift the focus of the patient and the family as well to this inevitable passage that is coming, then the eyes are lifted up to what lies ahead for this person, and not what we are, the people left behind, are going to lose. Because we're afraid and we're hanging on to this person, we're afraid we're going to lose him or her. But it's the journey that lies ahead for the patient that is really of critical necessity at that moment.
If you'd like to study this topic in greater depth, we have a book for you. It's the title of the book is Esoteric Healing by Alice Bailey, and it's available from Lucis Publishing Company for $22. Shipping is for free if you mention Inner Sight. To order by mail, send check or money order for $22 to Lucis, that's L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, $22, shipping for free, providing you mention Inner Sight, and send that check or money order for $22 to Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Or you can order online from our website at www.lucistrust.org. And that's www.lucistrust.org. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.